rte.ie/drama-on-1.
And now, to mark World Day for Safety and Health at Work and Workers' Memorial Day, which this year is focusing on the impact of climate change on occupational safety and health, we broadcast a Loch Ness sequence by Seamus Heaney. One of the byproducts of climate change is the accelerating global biodiversity crisis. And nowhere is this more evident than in the largest freshwater lake in these islands, bordering 5 of the 6 counties of Northern Ireland, Loch Ness. Supplying more than 40% of the North's drinking water and hosting the largest wild eel fishery in Europe, Loch Ness is a cultural and archaeological jewel that reaches way back into the very beginning of the shared memory of this island. Taken from Seamus Heaney's 1969 sophomore collection Door into the Dark, the 7 short sequential poems comprising a Loch Ness sequence is dedicated to the fishermen, whose numbers have since dwindled from hundreds to a handful. Eel numbers are also collapsing. A thick sludge of surface algae is displacing the sanctuary of silt and sand the eels seek and hide in. These miraculous sea creatures who migrate from their breeding grounds in the Sargasso Sea, a body of water northeast of the Caribbean in the Atlantic Ocean, are carried by the Gulf Stream across the world to Loch Ness. The poem sequence both celebrates the ecological codependency of human beings, the animal kingdom and the land, while serving as an unintended reminder of what once was and could be lost forever. The Loch will claim a victim every year. This is a Loch Ness sequence by Seamus Heaney.
A Loch Ness sequence for the fishermen. 1. Up the shore. The loch will claim a victim every year. It has virtue that hardens wood to stone. There is a town sunk beneath its water. It is the scar left by the Isle of Man. At Tomb Bridge, where it sluices towards the sea, they've set new gates and tanks against the flow. From time to time they break the eel's journey and lift 500 stone in one go. But up the shore, in Antrim and Tyrone, there is a sense of fair play in the game. The fishermen confront them one by one and sail miles out and never learn to swim. "We'll be the quicker going down," they say. And when you argue there are no storms here, that 1 hour floating's sure to land them safely, the loch will claim a victim every year. 2. Beyond Sargasso. A gland agitating mud 200 miles inland, a scale of water on water working up estuaries. He drifted into motion halfway across the Atlantic, sure as the satellite's insinuating pull in the ocean, as true to his orbit. Against ebb, current, rock, rapids, a muscled icicle that melts itself longer and fatter, he buried his arrival beyond light and tidal water, investing silt and sand with a sleek root. By day, only the drainmaker, spade, or the mud paddler can make him abort. Dark delivers him hungering down each undulation. 3. Bait. Lamps dawdle in the field at midnight. 3 men follow their nose in the grass. The lamps beam their prow and compass. The bucket's handle better not clatter now. Silence and curious light gather bait. Nab him, but wait for the first shrinking, tacky on the thumb. Let him resettle backwards in his tunnel. Then draw steady and he'll come. Among the millions whirling their mud coronas under dewlapped leaf and bowed blades, a few are bound to be rustled in these night raids. Innocent ventilators of the ground, making the globe a perfect fit, a few are bound to be cheated of it when lamps dawdle in the field at midnight. When fishers need a garland for the bay and have him where he needs to come, out of the clay. 4. Setting. A line goes out of sight and out of mind, down to the soft bottom of silt and sand, past the indifferent skill of the hunting hand. A bouquet of small hooks coiled in the stern is being paid out back to its true form until the bouquet is hidden in the worm. The boat rides forward where the line slants back. The oars in their locks go round and round. The eel describes his arcs without a sound. The gulls fly an umbrella overhead, treading air as soon as the line runs out, responsive acolytes above the boat. Not sensible of any Kyrie, the fishers who don't know and never try pursue the work in hand as destiny. They clear the bucket of the last chopped worms, pitching them high, good riddance, earthy shower. The gulls encompass them before the water. 5. Lifting. They're busy in a high boat that stalks towards Antrim, the power cut. The line's a filament of smut drawn hand over fist, where every 3 yards a hook's missed or taken, and the smut thickens, wrist thick, a flail lashed into the barrel with one swing. Each eel comes aboard to this welcome. The hook left in gill or gum, it's slapped into the barrel numb, but knits itself 4 ply with the furling slippy haul, a knot of back and pewter belly that stays continuously won, for each catch they fling in is sucked home like lubrication. And wakes are enwound as the catch on the morning water. Which boat was which? And when did this begin? This morning, last year, when the loch first spawned? The crews will answer once the season's in. 6. The return. In ponds, drains, dead canals, she turns her head back, older now, following whim deliberately, till she's at sea in grass, and damned if she'll turn. So it's new trenches, sunk pipes, swamps, running streams, the loch, the river. Her stomach shrunk. She accelerates in mid-water. Its throbbing is speed through days and weeks. Who knows now if she knows her depth or direction? She's past Malin and Torrey, silent, wakeless, a wisp, a wick that is its own taper and light through the weltering dark. Where she's lost, once she lays 10,000 feet down in her origins, the current carries slicks of orphan spawn. 7. Vision. Unless his hair was fine-combed, the lice, they said, would gang up into a mealy rope and drag him, small, dirty, doomed, down to the water. He was cautious then in riverbank fields. Thick as a birch trunk, that cable flexed in the grass every time the wind passed. Years later, in the same fields, he stood at night when eels moved through the grass like hatched fears towards the water, to stand in one place as the field flowed past, a jelly road, to watch the eels crossing land, rewound his world's live girdle, phosphorescent sinewed slime continued at his feet. Time confirmed the horrid cable.
That was a Loch Ness sequence by Seamus Heaney, taken from the poet's 1969 sophomore collection, Door into the Dark, and broadcast tonight to mark World Day for Safety and Health at Work and Workers' Memorial Day, which this year is focusing on the impacts of climate change on occupational safety and health. The series producer of Drama on One is Kevin Reynolds.
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.